Boker Tov, good morning. It is Wednesday morning, and we continue to Kitzur Shulchan Aruch Perek Lamed Ches, Halacha Yud Beis, Chapter 38, Halacha 12. We've been discussing the laws of Bishalakim, of foods that are cooked or prepared by a non-Jew, when they are still permissible to be eaten and when they're not. So the Kitzur discusses Sheichar Shel Tevua V'Shel Dvash, beer that is made from wheat or honey. Noagin Bo Heter, the custom is to allow them to be drunk. We'll discuss why in a moment. Afilu bebayis shemokra nosoha of the kochavim, even in a place, in a business or a home that is, that is owned by non-Jews. This is a reference to a different concern, not bishalakam, not necessarily who prepares or cooks the food, but there is a different concern on halacha of drinking together certain drinks, certainly wine, but even other drinks that are sometimes drank in a more formal setting, together mixed with Jews and non-Jews, that could lead to intimate relationships or intermarriage. But the Kitzur says, don't worry about that when it comes to beer. And also, ve'ein bo mishum bishulei over kochavim, it's also not a problem of bishul akum if a non-Jew is the one who oversees or is the one who performs the fermenting of the beer, of the wheat, and creates the beer. Because da tvua betela b'mayim, because the fermented wheat, the fermented grain, I should say, not wheat, the fermented grain is nullified by the water. In other words, beer is primarily made up of fermented grain and water, but there's a lot more water, it's mostly water. And therefore, since water isn't subject to the prohibition of bishalakum, water doesn't really experience a significant change when it is boiled or cooked. Therefore, beer is also not included in the category of bishalakum. And if a non-Jew prepares beer, assuming that it is done in a kosher way, it would be permissible to drink it. You need to make sure that it's not also fermented with wine sediment. Apparently, that is sometimes also used in the fermentation of beer. That would obviously be a whole different problem if it's actual wine. So make sure that that's not included, and then you should be good to go. In a place where the Jews are not being careful enough, as they should be, about keeping their wine separate from non-Jews, and people are, again, not taking this halacha seriously enough, so then a person should be extra stringent, somebody wants to be careful, and also implement this restriction onto beer. In other words, if you can't trust that people are keeping the proper separation for wine, sometimes you need to go even a little further in the other extreme to try and help. You might be sitting and having beer, but the next thing you know, somebody next to you might be having wine that's prepared by a non-Jew, and that's a whole different issue. And therefore, in this situation, it would be best to be stringent for all of them. Uv'inyan shtias kafeh b'lichalav dimchalav vaday aser. What about drinking coffee without milk? Because milk is a separate issue, which we'll discuss in a moment. V'chein shokolad v'tei, hot chocolate or tea, etzel ovid kochavim. What about drinking those, not just in the presence of, but in the house of or in the business of a non-Jew? Shomer nafsho yircha kesasmo. Somebody wants to be extra careful to guard his soul, will distance himself from this. But v'yesh matirin lishtos derech arai, aval derech kvius aser. There are those who are lenient about drinking if it's in a sort of more temporary or casual manner, but to formally establish like a sit-down drinking gathering together would be something that we should be stringent about. In other words, the concern of Chazal was, and the Shulchan Aruch and the Kitzur here, is that sitting down specifically gathering to drink, when that's done with, even if it's not wine, even if it's coffee, but still, that's often the precursor to an intimate relationship or to close social relationships. And the concern here is becoming too close and, God forbid, leading to intermarriage. And therefore, there were certain restrictions that were put into place in a casual, temporary manner. You know, if you're going out for just for a drink to discuss business, or you know, an old friend who you meet up with once in a while, that might be okay. But to gather in a formal social way is something that is potentially at least questionable, and the Kitzur seems to be recommending against. Let's do one more halacha this morning. Halacha Yud Gimel. Chalav shachalva ovid kochavim ve'in stro ro'ehu. Milk, where the milk was milked from a cow, or from an animal, by a non-Jew, and a Jew did not oversee. Asur afilu lasos mimenu gvina. It is forbidden to drink this milk, even if the non-Jew claims that it's cow's milk, even if you see a cow there, but who knows? There may also be a camel or a pig somewhere else. This may have camel or pig milk mixed within it. It's all white. It all looks pretty similar. You wouldn't be able to tell. And therefore, it's forbidden for a Jew to drink from that milk, even to use it to make cheese. We'll discuss cheese a little bit later on, without having seen the actual milking process take place. Ideally, the Jew should be there from the very beginning of the milking process, so they can also check the pail or the bucket that the milk is being milked into to make sure that that was completely clean beforehand. The custom is to be stringent and not even use the same vessel that a non-Jew used for milking, because maybe that vessel before, again, had camel's milk in it. Maybe it has some leftover droplets of camel's milk. You want to use an absolutely clean pail for cow's milk. If one has a non-Jewish worker who's milking animals in the house or in the yard, in the property of a Jew, so long as there are no homes in between my house, where I am currently, and my field where the cow is being milked, so I, you know, can have a pretty good view, and really there's nowhere to hide some other kind of animal or to do something suspicious, so then I can allow my non-Jewish worker to do the milking because there's really no concern. But if there are homes of non-Jews between my house and my field, then there needs to be a Jew who's watching what's happening, because who knows, maybe they'll, what could happen. I guess the concern is the non-Jewish worker might spill the pail of cow's milk, and then he'll be afraid to show up at my house with nothing, having cost me a loss of money. So I'll run to the non-Jewish neighbor in between and say, do you have any milk? I got to bring some milk to my boss. And the neighbor might only have camel's milk, and he'll just fill it up or mix in some camel's milk. And therefore, if we can't see what's going on, we can't assume that it's all okay. Even if it's just a 9-year-old, little boy or little girl, someone who's old enough just to be aware and see what's going on, that's okay. It doesn't even need to be somebody who's bar bat mitzvah. Just somebody who's old enough to understand what's happening and know the difference between a cow and a camel and a pig. Now, many are probably aware that Rav Moshe Feinstein wrote several tshuvos about this, based on earlier sources, that nowadays in America, and actually in many countries of the Western world, where there are laws and oversight by federal agencies that require that milk that is labeled as milk only be cow's milk. And if they were ever caught mixing in some pig's or camel's milk, that company would be in major trouble and potentially fined or shut down. Therefore, we can assume, even if there's not a Jew overseeing the entire milking process, we know that milk is indeed cow's milk. We don't have to be concerned that it's camel's milk or pig's milk or something else that's mixed in, or even goat's milk, which would be okay, but we know that the milk is cow's milk, and therefore we can drink it even if it's not overseen by a Jew. So many are still stringent to only drink milk that is actually overseen by a Jew, and that's what's called Chalav Yisrael. So that's why you might see some packages labeled as Chalav Yisrael. That means that milking actually was overseen by a Jew. If it's not Chalav Yisrael, we still know that it's cow's milk, and therefore Moshe said that even though it's better, if all else is equal, to always have Chalav Yisrael, but it's certainly kosher and no problem to have regular milk that is not Chalav Yisrael, or Moshe calls it Chalav Stam, just regular milk. It's not Chalav Yisrael, but we know here in America that it is certainly cow's milk. If you're traveling around the world, you can't necessarily rely on that in every country, so we'd have to research to find out what the laws are in that country and whether the milk needs a special heksher or not. Have a great day.